These cords right here.
That is the muscle.
Okay.
Push those away.
So let us
drive this chair here.
Which is the most comfortable?
Yes, but I'm on the table.
This one.
Yes.
No.
No
good?
No. Let's try it.
Take out just the plain chair and not the chair.
Plain chair?
Without it.
No.
Without
it. One second.
Without it.
Please sit down.
Why don't you take that chair without
the arms? No, let me stand here. I gotta stand here. Please sit
down. What about you need a chair with arms?
A plain office chair. This is the chair that you need.
Which one? Which one?
Do I have a little chair?
This is no chair.
Try this.
There's one.
There's no one. It doesn't need arms.
Doesn't have arms.
Try this.
Where am I sitting?
How about this one here?
All right,
he has the chair.
Rebbe, this chair here?
No. There's no one. Now he has the chair. Just help him out there.
Reverend, we've now reached the highlight of our convention. The presence of Moreno Rabbeinu, our Rebbe in our midst, and his willingness to give us a shiur ultimately becomes the very essence of this convention. And there's no one, I don't think anyone, who is more suited to give the Rav his formal introduction than our own executive vice president, our own beloved Rabbi Israel Klager.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Rosenzweig, for the covet you bestowed upon me. This year, marks the 30th year that I'm working with the Arcieri, and I don't know why, but it's been a year in which I have received a number of kibbudim, all of which are precious to me, but all of which fall by the wayside when compared to this kavod today. And what's worrying me is that for the first time in 30 years I'm going to have the privilege of introducing the Rav to a convention, and I may fluff it. Because over the years I've always said that those who introduce the Rav at length give you until I finish to complete the whistle. After that, no more whistling. I've always said that one who takes a long time in introducing the Rav detracts rather than is moisif, because there is just there's nothing that you can say which is adequate, and therefore when it's inadequate, the less that you say, the better. And here I am today, and for me it's a very sentimental occasion. I don't want to speak about the Rav, I want to speak about myself. Because for myself, I want to say what being in the Mechitza of the Rav, this period of almost the complete time that I've been in the RCA, has meant for me. I can remember almost like today, the first time when it was the presidency of Rabbi Adams. Do you remember what year that would have been? Somewhere in the first 50s, 51, 52. Rabbi Adams said at that time that he thinks it would be a wonderful idea if we ask the Rav to serve as chairman of our Halacha committee. And I remember that I arranged the appointment and we went up to see the Rav and we explained to him what it would mean. And I want you to know that from that moment on, a new era in the history of the RCA began. For me personally, it opened up a whole broad vista that had previously been non-existent. I knew of the Rav. I had been a Talmud of his father, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, with my Masmich. I had heard the Rav's lectures in the yeshiva, but I had never had the opportunity for a personal relationship. And that opened up a relationship that has continued these low 26, 27 years and has grown in warmth and in meaning for me. So I want to say just a few reminiscences, if I may, of what it has meant for me to have shared the Rav's life in a way by being present on important occasions, by having had the privilege of consulting him with regularity, of meeting him, of bringing problems, not only organizational problems, but problems that concern Yiddishkeit as a whole, and my own personal and private problems have also had a place where I have been able to bring them. For me, it has changed the entire character and color of my life. It has made it meaningful. It has made it rich in experience. I have had opportunities to witness that which takes place in the world that was sealed, perhaps, to me prior to this. And the Rav has been to us the tower of strength. And I don't know that we really realize it. He has given us our mahus, and very unobtrusively he has set our philosophy, and we have tried very hard to follow that philosophy. The Rav is a teacher, a melamed. He always boasts about the fact that he's a Rebbe. But a melamed is not just somebody who teaches you aleph beis. Nicholas Murray Butler once described the mark of an educated person. Knowledge was the last of them. It was the seeking for knowledge. It was an attitudinal one. And that is what he has given us. The ability when we come here and we listen. And it doesn't matter whether Rav reads a paper or whether he learns a Blat Gemara with us. He opens up always new vistas that were previously closed. This is what he has done for me, and I know he has done it for you. There have been moments in the RCA's history which have been critical. He's always been a tower of strength. There have been moments in Jewish life of which people are unaware when his intervention has been so important. If I may, I just want to reminisce one story that I may tell. The Rav will forgive me if I do, but to me it's the one that perhaps remains with me strongest. This happened just about, in 1973 or 4, right after the Yom Kippur War, when all monies were being channeled to the Israelis as necessary, and the important tzedakas were drying up in the Vara yeshivas and the yeshivas and the Yehuda yeshivas came screaming about what they were going to do. And finally they sent the delegation here, and we were fortunate in being part of the ability of arranging a meeting with the top brass of the joint about this issue. And the Rosh HaMedabrim, when they came there, were the Rav, the Meshe was there, if the Rav remembers, and it was the Rav, however, who was the spokesman for us. And I want to tell you, just as an illustration of the nature and the wisdom of the man, how he did this. Sitting there, he pulled out a small sheet of paper from his pocket and began to read, and he said, "The gentlemen of the joint who are gathered here, before I can speak to you, I must pay a debt of gratitude that I owe the joint. This debt," he says, "is over 50 years old. 50 years ago during First World War, a little more than 50 years war, I have two memories that I must share with you. They lie on my conscience. If I never had the opportunity to say thank you to you, I must now say thank you." And then he went on to describe in his inimitable fashion a scene when he was a child during right after the First World War of the children in his cheder dancing with the Rebbe and dancing around and singing, "Thank you, Uncle Joint. Thank you, Uncle Joint." Because that day a shipment of cocoa had arrived for the Jews of Poland sent by the Joint. And it was the first sweet that they had been able to taste in years. And the children had drunk that cocoa And it meant so much to them that they sang and danced, thanking Uncle John for having brought them, sent them the cocoa. And then he said, I have another thank you to give you. I went with my father, the Tzadik Levrocha, to visit his brother, Abelvo. I think he was in Varsha at that time. And he says, before you could say Jack Robinson, my father and his brother were engaged in a deep controversy about a shot. And my uncle turned to me and said, go in next door and bring in a gemore. And I walked in, and there in the shrunk I saw something I had never seen anything before. A new shas, a new gemore. I never knew, he said, that a gemore could be anything but tatters of sheets, because that's all that we had had during the whole period. And here suddenly I lovingly took out the gemore that was brand new, and on it it said, Matonami HaJoint, a gift from the joint to the Jews. He says, I have to thank you for these two things before I can speak to you. Gentlemen, I was there. He didn't have to speak anymore. The gentlemen of the joint fell all over themselves that day. What is it you want, Rabbi? What is it you want? Anything you ask me for. I remember the man who was currently president and was then as a vice president jumped up so fast with a gold pencil in his hand and began to take notes. What is it that you request? The wisdom of being able to approach. This is what I learned. This is what you see. It's a sichas chulin, if you will, but the beauty, and that was what was in it. This is what, having come, I could use a dozen illustrations of a similar nature, of the wisdom of the so-called Malamed that he speaks to us of being. For us, he's been a tower of strength. For me, he has been something even greater than that. When he comes to grace our convention, I think it indeed is a highlight. I can remember the first time we had a kinnus tshuva in a little dinky hotel where we could barely get in. We didn't realize that opening it up would bring in, as it did, 3,000 people to the Americana last year. We used a little dinky hotel to bring in our people. I can remember the first time when we went up to Boston to learn the shiurim. The ability, I don't know what that uncanny ability is, but to open up a gemara and to listen and to see that there are new windows in it that you looked at before and you saw it and they were not there. And suddenly the greatness of the man in making simple and obvious, which is really so obtruse and complicated. This is the person that I have had the privilege of being in his presence, of being in his mechitza, of being able to learn little things. Some people say I'm smart. Maybe I'm smart because I know when to listen and always do listen to the Rav I teach. This is the source of my wisdom. It's by emanation. And that's why for me today, it is a culmination of so many things, but standing off by itself. The ability to have the opportunity to say to you, Merev Rabbeisai, it's my thrilling privilege to present to you Moreinu v'Rabbeinu HaGoyim HaGodol v'Adya, but more than that, our Rebbe, the Rav, as we always refer to him. Rid of the whistle?
Yeah, it's all right.
Thank you, Rabbi Clayton, for your introductory remarks. I feel about you as you feel about me. I was not the one who exerted the influence, the Mashpia, and you were the Mekabel. I don't know who influenced whom, but there's no doubt about it that certain things I learned from Rabbi Clayton. And it's hard for me to portray my emotions. I was trained at my home as a child not to display emotions. If you love somebody, love him with your heart and soul, but don't tell anybody about it, not even to him.
If you are angry at somebody, you may be angry, no doubt about it. But don't tell it to him, nor tell it to others. Be angry within yourself. And always, I mean, I've never received, I've told people many times, I've never received a kiss from my father. Never. Even at the time when I departed and I left him, no one knew whether I'll see him again or not. So he just shook my hand and said, Lech l'shalem, Kadosh Baruch Hu matzliach. No doubt about it, people were standing on the platform and saw this strange behavior, thought this is brisk, which has no concern for the heart, only the mind. The mind is cold, while the heart is so warm and overflowing. And that's why Reb Moshe could not give a kiss to his son. It isn't so. I know my father loved me very much, extremely very much. And actually whatever I possess belongs to my father. Shali v'shalachem shalei. He loved me very much, but he did not express his love. And I am a friend of Rabbi Kleve, and I cannot portray my friendship for him. But I have a great deal of respect for him. Great deal. As a matter of fact, I've just heard the Rambam in Pirkei Avos says that friendship is a triple experience, a threefold experience. The first requirement, as a matter of fact, friendship imposes upon the friends a threefold duty, a triple duty. First of all, Chover le'ezro, when a friend is in trouble, there's a right knock on the door of his. When somebody's in trouble, so one has the right to knock on the door of the person who is a friend, has been a friend of theirs, and ask for help. Then my mind speaks of friendship lidogo, friendship which one experiences while confiding in someone. Friendship is achieved if I have the faith in somebody and I don't hide anything from him, I confide in him or to him. Both good news and bad news. Which means men must unburden himself of all his worries and fears and doubts, and he can unburden himself only to a person who has absolute, unlimited faith and confidence. Matter of fact, I confided in Rabbi Kleven, and quite often we used to talk that about the RCA. This took up very little time. I used to confide in him, and he used to reciprocate and confide in me about our own personal worries. Wherever there is no man where man is burdened with worries, his fears, his doubts. And thirdly, that my madness requires that the friend be a chover l'deo, should be a united effort to achieve something great. The same ultimate end, the same purpose, the same goal, the same vision should attract both friends. Their world perspectives should merge into one great perspective. I have differences with Rabbi Kleven, sometimes I have, I still perhaps have, but basically we are chaverim l'deo, we march, we move toward one destination. Now our outlook on Yehadus is the same. Therefore, I just want to convey to Rabbi Kleven, on behalf of all the Rabbonim here, our good wishes for a complete recovery, and refuah shleima min hashamayim. You should be in the front of the that the RCA will lead us all toward greater achievements and greater victories.
Amen.
Now, as we just read Balei Zichor, we are about to reach Shlach. As a matter of fact, when Chava Kleven celebrated his 25th anniversary as executive vice president of the RCA, I spoke about this parsha. And I must tell you, last Shabbos, when I was listening to Chris Atiyai, I said to myself, Yofi Darashna. Because without my interpretation, it would be very difficult to understand the Sedre, particularly the continuity within the Sedre. And if I just remind you, I mean, the crux of my address was that in Balei Zichor, the first half of Balei Zichor portrays Moshe Rabbeinu ready to enter Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Bitzachu esom azeh minitzrayim, tavdu nesolekim, bitzachu esom minitzrayim, tavdu nesolekim al hor hazeh." So Moshe had to implement two purposes, to achieve two objectives. First, to take the people out of Mitzrayim. It was accomplished the 15th night of Nis, Chatzei Salam. The second, Tardus Lekim Al Orazeh, Moshe was supposed to build the sanctuary, Beis HaMikdash, Moshe. Moshe implemented both objectives, and the second year, in year, so Moshe was ready, I mean, Al Pi Hashem, to enter Eretz Yisrael, to go up, to climb up the hill, and to enter Eretz Yisrael. And that's why in Balei Zichor, the first half of Balei Zichor consists of stories of isolated events which occurred. For instance, the story about the Tmeim L'Nefesh Odom. But this is the completion of Tardus Lekim Al Or Hazeh. I mean, the second Pesach was included in the stipulation, in the agreement between God and Moshe, that before he'll enter Eretz Yisrael, he'll have to complete the Beis HaMikdash and tell the people how to offer and what to offer. And in case of Tumah, how to act in a situation like that of the Tmeim. That's why the Torah tells us the story from Tmeim and Nefesh Odom and Baal Eschor, not in day, that with clearing up this problem, Moshe paved the way to march to Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the Torah tells us, Vayisa Degel Ruven Degel Machne Yehuda Leboreshenu. Did this happen in the Midbar many times? But the first time when Degel Machne Yehuda, I mean, started to move, it was, I mean, the destination was not another stop in the Midbar, but Eretz Yisrael. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, in his conversation with his father-in-law, and Moshe's request that the father-in-law should join them, and Moshe says, Kadishem Dibatei Val Yisrael, God has good intentions as far as we are concerned. And the good will share with the. Moshe did not occur to Moshe when he spoke, when he was conversing with Yisrael, that he himself will never enter Israel. Means Moshe was convinced that he will be among those who cross the river Jordan. And finally, this is the march to Eretz Yisrael. This is the final march to Eretz Yisrael. Had Eretz Yisrael been invaded by Moshe Rabbeinu, as I said it so many times, so many, so often, the whole Jewish history would have taken a different turn, And this would have been, our destiny would have been changed from top to the bottom, from A to Z. From A to Z. Und dazu so weiß ich, was ich bin sehr ohren. Wenn der eure Arena Breeze begann zu move, war jener Mensch, komm mal da schön. Wie ihr Fuß sich wecher. About whom was Mensch to talking? About the enemies and the foes in Eretz Israel. Wie ihr Nussum ist an Echel und Panecha. It's the final march, the final war, the final victory, and that's all. But something happened. The first half of Bala Yisrael is the book that contains the story of the final preparation on the part of Moses and the Jewish people before entering Eretz Yisrael, which was supposed to lead to Kibush Eretz by Moshe, not by Yeshua. And then you know very well that there are two psukim, Vayibe Seorim, Uvinuche Yema, and there are two nun afuchim, and there is a gap. There is something, I mean, no continuity. What happened? What happened? The greatest catastrophe in human history. Vayi Homkim Senim. The people began to complain. They began to display dissatisfaction. They themselves didn't know what to do. They themselves didn't know what they want. They were missing nothing, but they were dissatisfied. And here the great vision came to an end, was not implemented. And following the Kivrei Satavo, the graves of the people who are desirous, of the people who cherish Adonai and just pleasure. We are pleasure-oriented and centered. Those people have changed the whole background. And the promise that from Mitzrayim they'll march straight to Eretz Israel was not fulfilled. The fulfillment had been delayed. Right after that, we'll read this Shabbos, Parsha Shlach. Shlach was postponed for quite a long time, the way the book in Shlach tells us, namely for 40 years. Today, it means as Sidim Afold used to say, the Aveles of Ben Amtzorim begins on Shabbos Parsha Balesra. Shabbos Parsha Balesra, we read a story of Goles, 40 years in the Midbar. The story of whom, which became perhaps the main topic of our historical studies. And I want just to interpret two psukim in Parashat Balesra. Uvayim simchasem umeyadechem uvoroshi chodshechem uspaitem bachatzeitzos ala leseichem valzivchi shalmechem voyo lachem lezikorem lifnei lekechem. Second, chisove milchoma baratzchem ala tzar atzer eschem varayisem bachatzeitzos unizkartem lifnei adishem lekechem ani adishem lekechem. It means before the story of the Misavim, the episode of the Misavim occurred, there was no need to say, V'chisovim l'chom ha-baratzchum l'atzar ha-tzereschum. It would have never happened if Moshe had implemented the promise and entered Eretz Israel with the people. No chum, no hand, no matter how powerful and strong the hand was, could have changed, could have taken the Jews, could have exiled the people from Eretz Israel, or could have caused home desolation. After Moshe's share in Knisas Eretz and entering Eretz Israel was reduced to zero, because of the sins committed by the members of the congregation of Israel. So the Torah has added another pasuk. Jewish history will not be just one long festival, one long V'yem Simchaschem U'me'adechem V'rosh Yechodshechem. It will not be one long Simcha, joyous holiday celebrating on which we will celebrate our victories. Sometimes Chatz Hetzres will announce joy and happiness and victory, but more than often they will announce distress and disaster and ruin. Now the second pasuk, Chisov Mucham Vatzlum Atzar Atzer Asrem, is due to the fact that Moshe's share in Knesset Haaretz was reduced to zero, and Knesset Haaretz was delayed for undetermined period. What does the mitzvah mean? Resolve Mucham Vatzchem Al Atzar Atzer Asrem V'Areisem V'Chatzetzres. Tell us what kind of a mitzvah is it? Let us take a look at Rambam. But I'm sorry, the top line was cut off because we wanted to get as much as possible on one page. So I'll have to read the first line in the Rambam. It means the Minyan HaMitzvahs, the line which belongs to the table of the mitzvahs. Mitzvah Saseh Hilchas Taniyos. The Rambam says, Mitzvah Saseh Yachas contains the one mitzvah. Vihi Litzeik Lifnei Adishem. And I emphasize again, Litzeik is a tzaddik. He Litzeik. I checked many Rambams. Litzeik is a tzaddik, not with a zayin. You can say Lizei. It's the same spelling. The difference consists from J just in the tzaddik and the zayin. Litzeik Lifnei Adishem Becholeis Tzoro Gdelo Shalei Tove Al Atzibo. It should have been Shetove Al Atzibo. Shalei Tove Al Atzibo. It is one commandment to cry unto the Almighty at the time of disaster, which strikes the people, may strike the people. Again, mitzvah saseyachas, v'hilitzei klifnei adeshem, v'chol ehi eis, tzoro gdelo, shleitove al atzibo. I mean, I believe this is what I said is then the text. And the Ram writes the text. Mitzvah Sasei Minatero. He follows the, it's almost identical with his Nuscha, with the text in the Mina Mitzvah. But Lizeik. Not Litzeik, but Lizeik. With the Zayin. Both are synonyms. Shemesh and Adofim. And both are prima facie, good to express, for expressing, the basic aloha. Shkakol tzoro shetov al atzibu, shnema al atzar atzer reschem, vareisem bechatzei tzres. Kremo kol dobo shiyeitza aloha, gen batzeres, videva viarbei, any kind of catastrophe, be it war, be it of economic nature, be it agricultural, like starvation, agricultural catastrophe, disaster, like famine, and so forth. How does he know? Shenemar al atzar atzir esrei, vareisem bechatzetzos. Whenever you feel on a tight spot, mina meitza, and you face suffering, and you are confronted by disaster, so what's your duty? Zaku haleyan vihoriyo. Zaku haleyan vihoriyo. Cry or supplicate because of this disaster, distress, vihoriyo, and blow the shofar. The interesting is that when he counted when he defined the mitzvah as far at the very beginning, he did not mention chatzetzres. V'hi litzik lifnei yad Hashem, b'chol eis. That's all. Didn't say it to chatzetzres. In text already, he mentioned chatzetzres. But in text, when he mentioned chatzetzres, he changed the tzaddik into a zayin. Not litzok, but lizok. I mean, you might call it total interpretation of Rambam. It is total interpretation. This is the way I do things. But it intrigues me. Such a slight variation, sometimes unnoticeable. It always intrigued me, and it still intrigues me. Why is it so? But however, we don't have any Kasimishu either. There's another problem to be resolved. The Rambam should have counted the two psukim as two separate mitzvahs. One mitzvah is to blow the chatzetzres on holidays and days of joy. Another mitzvah is to blow the chatzetzres in times of crisis and suffering. There is no reason under the sun why the Rambam should take both psukim and combine them into one mitzvah and introduce this mitzvah into the table of Tayag mitzvahs. The Akesef Mishnah has a question. It makes no sense. That the mitzvah is related to chatzetzres, what difference does it make? But conceptually, as far as the substance of the mitzvah is concerned, as far as the implementation of the mitzvah is concerned, I mean, those two psukim represent two separate ideas. And there are many rishonim, actually, who counted Yesim Chasam Madechem Rosh Chodeshchem Uvon Mitzvah and Chisov Mechom Ba'atzchem Al Atzar Atzir Aschem a second mitzvah. Ja, in der Kesse Mishne reiz, wir ruhissi la Rabbeinu, bepere besefer am Mitzvies, schlo imono, tru azu, min schesom mochom, schesom mochom baratz mo atzara zereschen, ut kia, shebishas hakabonis, bemitzvah achas, vitom ani lomo, share shne psuk meim bakosuf. Der Kesse Mishne says. In my opinion, there is no doubt that the Rambam counted only out the two psukim appear in Rambam as far as the table of Tayag mitzvahs is concerned as one. There's no doubt about it. But the interpretation is wrong. It's not that Rambam counted both psukim as one mitzvah. No. One posuk he counted as a mitzvah, the other posuk he did not count as a mitzvah. Not he count both as one. No, this is not correct. He, one pasuk, he considered, as a separate autonomous mitzvah. The other pasuk apparently related to something else, and he did not count, he did not consider it as a separate mitzvah entity. So of course, if one pasuk is considered as a separate autonomous mitzvah entity, and the other pasuk he did not consider as such, so he counted only one mitzvah. Let me just explain what I have in mind. And for this purpose, we'll have to read the Rambam's definition of chatzetzres, which used to be blown by the Kohanim in Beis Hamikdash on days of joy and holidays on Rosh Chodesh. It's interesting to see how the Rambam defined this mitzvah. And the Rambam says as follows, in Peregimul Mecheskle HaMikdash, I don't know exactly the number of the aloche, but it's Peregimul Mecheskle HaMikdash, where he enumerates the duties of the Levim as far as Shire is concerned. B'mei ha-mei ha-dei sturom on the holidays u'b'roshi chodoshim u'b'shredosh u'y'akei anim teikim b'chatzetzres b'shas ha-korban when the korban was offered the kainim used to blow the chatzetzres v'alvim emrim shira and the same time the levim recited shira shira means voice singing שנאמר, וביום שמחתכם ובמיידיכם, ובראש חודשיכם, וזכיתם בחצוצרות על עליכם, ועל זבחי שלמיכם, ויהיה לכם לזכורן לפני אלוקיכם. What is remarkable about this definition? Something is very remarkable. And I don't know, the Rambam derived it from Masechet Tomit, even though it's not explicit in Masechet Tomit. But apparently this was his conclusion. The Kehanim used to blow the Chatzetzres while the Levim recited Shire over the Korban. For the Kehanim taking the Chatzetzres b'shas ha-Korban v'alvim emrim Shiro. It means there was simultaneity. Simultaneously with the Levim who recited the Shire, the Kehanim used the Chatzetzres, they blew the Chatzetzres. When did the Levim say Shire in Beis HaMikdash? When? Well, I mean, after all, because HaKorban can be interpreted in a variety of ways. Because HaKorban can be interpreted in terms of Zrikes, Zrikes Adam. Can be interpreted because Kabbalah, during Kabbalah's Adam. Or even Akhtor HaSimulim. When did the Levim blow the Nami in the Levim, recite Shire, sing the Shire? When they offered the Nesachim. Why? Because they named him Shiro El Alayai. When you say Shire, the Shire has got to be related to something. And Shire relates itself to no other mashke, liquid, and no other drink but to Yai. Achadalti, the posuk in Sheftim. The law says, Lelekin Vodon. Will I stop supplying the Almighty with wine? The Geffen said when she was invited to become the president of the federated, loosely federated 12 Shvatim. Levim used to say Shire during Nisuch HaYayin. Under Nisuch HaYayin we chazal the portrait was symbolically considered as achila u'shtia, mainly shtias yayin. In other words, tkias chatzetzres was not considered, according to the Rambam, is not a separate mitzvah, but it is one of the aspects of shire. Of course, it differs from the Shire recited by the Levim in two respects. First of all, the Kehanim recite Shire instead of the Levim. The Kehanim blow the Chatzetzres instead of the Levim. Secondly, with regard to Levim, is Ika Shire Bepe, is the main performance of Shire consists in singing, not in playing the instruments. We used to have instruments too which they played in the Levim. But this was a peripheral matter. This was not the main performance. This was not identical with the main performance of Shire. Here the Torah required that the Kehanim play the instrument or blow the Chatzetzres. It means the Torah said that there is another kind of Shire which consists in the play of playing the instrument, the Chatzetzres, but it's not a separate mitzvah. It is a part of mitzvah Shire. Mitzvah Shire was divided, split, so to say, between the Kehanim and Levim. The Levim sang, and the Kehanim blew the Chatzetzres. It was done together simultaneously during Nisuch HaYayin. In other words, Chatzitzris must be blown, not just at any time, should be blown not just at any time, but at the time of Nisuch HaYayin, because a name Rimshir El HaYayin. In other words, so what is the playing of Chatzitzris? I mean, what is the... of Chatzitzris, not as a new mitzvah. Because if it had been a new mitzvah, there would be no need to have the Chatzitzris, be blown at the time of Nisuch HaYayin, because the whole halacha in Emum Shir HaYayin would not have applied to Chatzitzris. Since the Rambam requires simultaneity for the Chatzitzris and the recital of Shire of the Levim, by the Levim, so the conclusion is plain, obvious, that the Rambam considers Chatzitzris as an aspect or an integral part of what? Of Shire. It differs from Shire as far as to the personnel. There are Levim, Shire, Levim, Chatzitzris. Is performed by Kenim and so forth, but basically, conceptually, it is the same mitzvah. This is the mitzvah Amira Shire Alakom Alide Kenim Ulvim Alvim Bepe Vakenim Vechatzetres Vekulo Vekushire Zuya Inonemeres Elo Bishas Nisuch, Sheinim Mishir Ola Yain, Ela Bishas Nisuch. That is the reason which motivated the Rambam to count the two psukim as one mitzvah. Why? Because the posuk we read, Simchas Ma'adechem, Uvroshi Chodsheichem, Uzkaitem Bechatzetris Al Lesechem, Val Zifrish Al Meichem, should not be counted as a separate mitzvah, as an autonomous entity, because it's not a new mitzvah which was disclosed to the people, but a new aspect, a new component part of the general mitzvah of Shire, which the Rambam counts as one of the mitzvahs tayar. However, the second person constitutes a new mitzvah, indeed. We don't have any other mitzvah which should, so to say, embrace or include the mitzvah of... So the Rambam was compelled to count this mitzvah in Hilchos Tainis as a separate entity, as a separate unity. However, the mitzvah from Yisim Chasma Madechem Uvroshi Chodsheichem, the mitzvah of Yisim Chasma Madechem Uvroshi Chodsheichem, there was no need to count this posuk as a mitzvah, because the posuk is included, the mitzvah is included in the general universal mitzvah of Shir HaShirim, of Shir HaMikdash. The only difference is that Shir HaMikdash by the Levim consists in singing, while by the Shir HaMikdash performed by Kenim consists in blowing Chatzitzris. This is the reason. It's not that Rambam took two psukim and combined them into one mitzvah. With one posuk he considered as an integral part of a mitzvah which was disclosed already and formulated already, namely Mitzvah Shire in Perek Gimel Milchas Klei HaMikdash. He says the same Perek, the Levim are supposed to sing Shire during Amin Dakrov HaSakom at the time of Nisuch HaYayin, and the Shire, what did he do? Instead of counting Chatzitzres as a separate mitzvah, he merged Chatzitzres into the general mitzvah of Shire, and Levim and Kenim are duty bound, obligated to do the Avedas Hashir even though the manner in which this performance, this Aveda is performed by Kenin differs from the manner in which it's performed by Levi. This is the true answer. Now, so you don't have to talk a lot about the mitzvah from Yesim Chasam Adechem Rosh Chodeshem. It's enough if we'll say this mitzvah did not disclose anything new, a new obligation, a new duty, a new concept. It is the mitzvah of Shire, which is split between the Levim and the Kenim. The Levim say Shire, the Kenim say Shire, and both together perform the mitzvah Shire b'shleimuso, I mean completely. What I am interested is to understand the second person. Chisov milchoma ba'atzchem al atzar atzer eschem v'reisem b'chatzetzres. What kind of a mitzvah is it? This is completely new. There is no other pasuk in Chumash which makes even a hint or an allusion to such a duty. To blow chatzetzres, so when there is a threat of war or when the community is confronted with disaster, is exposed to danger, so I have to blow chatzetzres. What is it? What kind of a mitzvah is it? What kind of a mitzvah is it? In other words, I mean, I believe the answer is simple. It is a mitzvah to engage in prayer and supplication whenever the community is faced with disaster. The mitzvah in the world is tzo'okol Hashem at the time of war or distress, any kind, when the community finds itself in trouble. This is it. So if you read carefully Shlomo HaMelech's dedication speech, so to say, address, so he emphasizes it. In Shlomo HaMelech, all tefillahs are connected with sorrow, with suffering, with pain, with desolation. And this, what is the source of that kind of a mitzvah? Areisem b'chatzetzes means to pray, to supplicate, to petition God, to simply to ask for mercy. It's quite interesting is that the two psukim represent two mitzvahs. The first pasuk represents the mitzvah shire, that a man is supposed to sing when he's happy, or the community is supposed to sing when it is victorious and successful, like at the time of Solomon, the time of David, when the community was victorious, or the time of the splitting of the Red Sea, or the Yoshomation in Israel, as Ashira says. The second passage speaks of zokh, of crying, of weeping, of petitioning God, of supplicating God in times of suffering and distress. The psukim have combined. It's one parsha, and it belongs into Achrimeis, because before the great change in the destiny of the people occurred, so the Torah expected the people to celebrate just Yimei Simchas Chamadechem Rosh Chodesh. But after the disaster struck and the march to Eretz Yisrael was delayed, so not only march, a physical march was delayed, more than that, the whole destiny changed. And the new destiny which the people faced was a mixed one of sadness and joy, of victory and defeat. We've been defeated many times, We've been victorious just a few times. And in Bar Eisphor, where the whole Jewish destiny has changed, because Moshe was eliminated from the march to Israel. 40 years hence, Moshe was not participating in the march because he was dead. The Psukim portrayed the destiny of the people. And it is a strange destiny. Even modern history is not uniform. There is a lack of continuity. It happens suddenly, unexpectedly. Surprise is a very important element in our history. I said last week to someone, we're speaking about the state of Israel. It's not, the state of Israel did not come into existence the way other political entities came into existence. Let's take the American Republic. It came into existence. It started with colonizers. These people colonized or tried to colonize America, to settle America. Little by little, they organized in political unities, first municipalities, then states probably, and so forth. Finally, at the apex, when they reached the apex, they proclaimed the United States as the 13 colonies, as a political entity, as a sovereignty, and so forth. There is, you see what you call it, there is development. There is a base, there is growth, there is an apex. But state of Israel did not come in such a way. It's a mistake if some people think like that. After the Second World War, 1945-46, when Begin became, after Churchill was defeated in the election, right after, during the Potsdam the conference, and Begin became the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Begin was determined, people told me in Israel, to terminate the Zionist movement and to drive the Jews out of Eretz Israel and to turn over Eretz Israel to the Arabs. So Zionism, or the Shiva Zion movement, reached its low in the first post-war years, in the late 40s. And many people gave up the idea. Leading Zionists told me that time, it's no use fighting. We have no strength, we have no ammunition. America was not very sympathetic. Don't forget, it was the time following the regime of FDR. If FDR had been alive, there would have never been a state of Israel. Don't tell it anybody. It's a secret, it's confidential news. But it is so. And Truman himself didn't know what to do about it. And suddenly, out ex nihilo, out of nothingness, the state of Israel came into existence. How? What made it come into existence? What generated, what precipitated this? I don't know. Nor do the Jews in Eretz Israel know what it is. Suddenly, the Chisol Muhammad Ba'atzcham and Atzara Tereshem, Eretz Israel was about to be wiped off by the Rommel army, that we are aware of it. And this itself is a miracle that Rommel was defeated by Montgomery. There is no doubt that Rommel was defeated by Montgomery is because if Rommel had won the war, the battle, there would have been no state of Israel. No state of Israel, no issue of Israel. And suddenly, we reach the apex, the climax. State of Israel, a political entity, sovereignty. It's a very strange. But this is the kind of historical destiny that the Jews have been facing since the days since the days of Bar Eisphor, of the story of Bar Eisphor. Now there is one question as far as the Rambam is concerned. The Rambam is of the opinion that Beis HaTzoreh, one should not ignore sorrow, should not ignore distress. He should react to distress. React with what? Of course, if he can defend himself, protect himself against distress, so he's obligated to do so. We have a very our philosophy is that of activism, of the good vis-à-vis the evil. We are allowed, not allowed, we are commanded, to actually to try to defeat evil and to protect man against the onslaught of satanic forces. I mean, you know very well we have accepted medicine, I mean, without reservations. Don't forget they are still Christian denominations which have not accepted modern medicine. The Jew had never any problem about medicine. The only problem is the doctor should be an expert and know what you are in and understand how to heal. Also, we have got to be active with prayer. If we can be active, I mean, in a variety of ways, by employing natural means, we are certainly obligated to do. But we have got to react to evil. To evil with prayer. A special mitzvah to pray during the time of suffering and crisis. Yes. The question is, so it means suffering, evil, what? Suffering, evil must be met with resistance. And one of the means we employ is prayer. A special mitzvah to pray and at the time of crisis and suffering. You know, the question is, what does the Ram need? Rambam was the Rishi, the Pesach, who counted Tfilah B'cholim every day, daily prayer, as a separate mitzvah. So why does he need an additional mitzvah? As far as prayer is concerned, in time of sorrow and suffering. What is there in the mitzvah, the Chisholim Muhammad Ba'atzchem, Al-Atzah HaTzirasem, which we can't find in Tfilah? Let us read the Rambam, the text of the Rambam again. Mitzvos asei achas yi litzeik lifnei ad Hashem becholei soro gdeilo shelei tovei al atzibo. This is in the table of the mitzvos. Then in the text he writes, mitzvos asei minatero lizeik ulorriya bechatzetzvot al kol soro shetovei al atzibo. He uses the term litzeik, while he speaks with regard to me and a mitzvah, while he uses in the halachas, the mitzvah itself, he changed the tzaddik into Zion and substituted lizok for litzok. What is the distinction between lizok and litzok? In general. Very similar. Sometimes they say Shemeya Kel Zoroko, sometimes they say Shemeya Kel Zoroko. What is it? Did you ever think about the difference? What is there the difference? Azayin at Tzadik, I mean. Let's let's try simply to play around with these two synonyms, with this, Seamus and Adopi. I consider, I believe that I have a good sensitivity for Hebrew semantics. Because I was born into the Hebrew language. I don't know Hebrew, but I was born into the Hebrew language. Anyway, Litzok means in Hebrew, please. Litzok in Hebrew means basically to complain. To complain, to charge. Litzok, 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 Litzok. To complain, whether it is done in a loud voice or in a whisper, doesn't matter. Matters not at all. We are usually allowed, I mean in America, accustomed to say that Tzorek means he protested aloud, not in a whisper, not quietly, but in a loud. And it isn't so. Basically, Tanakh, the way that Tanakh uses the word litzek means to complain, whether in a whisper, quietly, or I protest publicly in a loud voice, is secondary. Is a secondary question. It has no primary significance. For instance, for a kalmona v'yosim leisanu, voyim tzoek yitzek alai. Veshamaitu kechanunon. What's the word kishitzakaloi? Don't mean he'll yell or shout, he'll raise his voice. It's ridiculous. How can the Torah speak like that? No. But kishitzakaloi, he'll complain to me. As a justice, God is the justice. God is the judge, sitting in judgment of our people. He'll bring a complaint to me, the way one brings a complaint to God against his neighbor. Yitzak Tzoek means to protest. Vishu achas min shei anevim tzoako al alisho lemer. Avdoch ish emeis. We mean tzoako al alisho lemer means she yelled, shouted. No, the Talmidim wouldn't have let her shout. Would have stopped her shouting. What is complain? Complain. Lizok has an additional meaning, has an additional connotation. Namely, it has the connotation of mobilizing, of assembling, of congregating. Vayazek borok, as Zvulun as Naftali ketchup, possibly. And there are many, many more. Many more places, passages in the Bible, where Zoik impel for Hazek. Hazek is meant in the sense of prayer. It denotes prayer as well, prayer, they are like tzoko, complain, as well as a summons addressed to others to do likewise and to join me in prayer. To join me in prayer. The best example is who knows the Megillas Esther by heart? By Isaac Zoko Gdelo Omora. And he cried with a loud and bitter cry. Why was it necessary for Mordechai to cry aloud? Does the Almighty need a loud cry? What's the answer? Mordechai didn't do that because he became hysterical. Mordechai was not hysterical. He summoned the community to join in the prayer. Particularly he challenged Esther. She should join him in prayer, and if she'll join him in prayer, she'll do something to help the people. Interesting is
I just want to give you two examples. Vayizak Shmuel Ad Hashem Kol HaLayla. Don't say Vayitzak Shmuel. Vayizak Shmuel Ad Hashem Kol HaLayla. Why was it necessary for Shmuel to engage in Zorko? Shmuel summoned the people to join him in prayer for Saul. Had the people done so, the wrath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been mitigated and Saul wouldn't have lost his kingdom. Such a story we have also about Moshe Rabbeinu. The Midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu lost his plea with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Moshe pleaded and supplicated HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness, and he was not, his prayer was rejected, not accepted, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited for the community to join Moshe in prayer and to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they cannot exist without Moshe. Had the community acted like that, Moshe would have entered Eretz Yisrael, and again, Jewish history would have had a different appearance. It would have been different. But the people did not understand to pray for Moshe. They knew, because Moshe told them quite often about the decree which was sealed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and against which he tried to pray and supplicate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was not succeeded. And if you read just the Parsha by Eschanan, you see how Moshe, with tears in his eyes, tell them something which they did not understand. Where is Eschanan Ad Hashem Vayisei Eleinu? I pray, no one else. Ad Hashem Elokim Atah Eleisu La'aretz Le'avdecha. La'avdecha, I didn't say Lam Yisrael, La'avdecha. There's God L'cha, V'Siotcha Chazotcha. Asher Mikir V'Shemayim V'Oretz, Asher Yasechim V'Asecha V'Vasecha. Hebron, let me just cross the Jordan just for a short while. He was ready to settle this quotation marks, conflict, for entering Eretz Yisrael and dying. But he wanted to just to cross the Jordan. Hebron Overe Soret Tevor Azeis Bahalvone Vaisabei Radishem B, because I was a lonely, a solitary, prayerful person. I prayed, no one else joined in with me. Vayemar Hashem Ravlo Vaisabei Radishem B Lemanchem. What is Lemanchem? Moshe did not enter Israel for a different reason, because he did not address himself to the Rak, and instead of addressing himself, he banned the Hid Rak with him. It's not the Machem, it's not the fault of the army Israel that Moshe made a mistake. The answer is, it is the Machem, because they had the sensitivity and the law for Moshe in a manner similar to that law which Moshe felt for them, they would have torn the decree apart into shreds of paper. Therefore, remark. At this juncture, we begin to understand what the link between Zorko and Chatzetzres consists of. The Ram says, Lizeku Leoria Bachatzetzres. Is apparently the Torah says Vareisim B'chatzetzres. The Torah didn't say anything about Zorko. But the Rambam added the word Lizei Kuloria. Where is the transition? I mean, plain semantically, from Lizei to Leoria B'chatzetzres. Where is the transition? Where is the common denominator, the link, which unites both of them? And the Rambam was careful when he wrote Zorko. He didn't try Lizei Kuloria B'chatzetzres. No. I was very careful about it. But however, when he mentions the term Zorko, he's right away. He's Lizard Ularia B'chatzetzres. So where is the link? The link is simple. Chatzetzres, basically the purpose of Chatzetzres is to gather the people. Royal of all the mass, no, the micro edol, the mass is a machmes. And Chazal in Rosh Hashanah say, Chatzetzres beitainies knufyoi, mishum knufyo. The fact that they blow Chatzetzres and etones is because Chatzetzres is the signal, so to say,
for the people to assemble and to join, to join the king or the Sanhedrin in any enterprise, particularly in prayer. Chatzetzre al pi aloche, this chatzetzre symbolizes to the act of congregating, of assembly, of joining the community, I mean, in prayer and in supplication. The mitzvah chatzetzre netones is concerned with congregating the people. And in fact, the posuk says so, that's why the Rambam united Zorko with Chatzetzres, because there are one mitzvah, to pray, but not only for myself in isolation, in retreat, but to pray and to draw in as many people as possible into prayer and create a prayerful community of individuals who display what? Who display love for those who suffer. We know that, I mean, there is another episode in Tanakh where Tainis is Chatzetzre, they say, Tainis and congregating, I mean, were united and declared identical. Which ones? Huh? No, in Tanakh, I didn't say Tanakh. Esther, Lech Nesis Kol Ayuru. V'tzumu alai, Shleish Yomin. Why was it necessary? Because since Mordechai Zoko Gdelo Omor, Mordechai involved her in prayer and in action, after all, she's the one who was ready to sacrifice her life. But this is Mordechai accomplished it by his call for prayer, by his summoning the people, all Jews, the queen and the woodchopper, to join him in prayer and to protect the Klal Yisrael from annihilation. So Esther told him, yes, I'll go, I join you. But you should remember that the entire community should be united as far as prayer is concerned, united in prayer. That Lech Knesset is called a unit. And Tanis and Kikinus are identical, just synonyms. Because don't forget that Tanis, the term Tanis was coined by the Chachmei Tirosh Baal Peh, by the Talmudic and Midrashic, the name for Tainis in Tanakh is same Asiri, same Orvi. What does same mean? Same, what is Tainis, you understand? Tainis means we suffer, we inflict suffering upon us. A day of affliction, of pain. The time is inu in the nefesh. Yeah. But what is saying? What is saying? No, tzamo sech soviv drakose. Tzamo is a braid. Braids. Tied together, like braids. Yeah, like braids. Samosek Mimat Rakose. Suma Sagirin. Suma Sagirin. What is Suma Sagirin? Did you ever see Suma Sagirin in a foul? Not in big animals. It is just tied together. Suma Sagirin. This is saying. Why should say Al Izet Seymef Choreo? Yeah, why should tones be translated into tzein, which actually whose meaning is congregating, tied together, woven together, united? Because chatzitzres are the symbol of tainis.
in Chatzetres in the Masse Eido, the Mikro Eido, the Masse Samachnes. Chatzetres, the meaning of Chatzetres, and the Kiyum HaMitzvah, the fulfillment of Chatzetres, is not just in prayer, but prayer which unites, prayer which takes individuals with love for each other and turn them into one community, into a mystical, metaphysical entity. And that's what Esther told Mordechai. If you succeed in doing that, in taking all the Jews of Shusha and uniting them and into a great community, then I'm sure I'll succeed in my mission and I'll save the people. This is the mitzvah zoke. The mitzvah zoke is lihispalel or levakesh tachnun in the rachamim, not in solitude, but in company, b'tzibur. That's why the Ramallah is, and this is the purpose of Chatzetres as well. That's why the Rambam did not separate the word lizek from l'oriah b'chatzetres. It's one purpose, one end, it's one performance. As a matter of fact, Zioko, as the performance which unites the people and involves them in matters in which they had no interest. The Jews in Shushan did not have any interest in it. They didn't care, they said it will not happen, you know how it happened. And Moshe and Mordechai dragged them in, involved them almost involuntarily. Involuntarily he dragged them in. This is this act, this is awful. Pray to God and summon others to join you. And make out of them one community, a great community, one unity, one entity. Because Zioko is based, and this is not, it would have never occurred to me, but it happens, the Ram happened to say so. Zioko is based upon an act of sympathy and compassion. The individual is supposed to arouse the community and protect it from distress. Love for the people is indispensable for the Okom. And the Rambam says, Bimlei Yitzaku, interesting. Bimlei Yitzaku, just a minute. Bimlei Yitzaku, Velei Yoriyu, interesting. Yitzaku Yoriyu. Eloyim, we dove of Zerim Minagrela Miralonu, it's a natural occurrence, you can't change much. The Tzorozun Nitro Nitris, it just happened. Arezu Derech Arzores. This is the method of cruelty. This is cruel. Why is it cruel? Because the Oko expresses the love of the Yochid for the community and vice versa. The dedication of the community to the individual. Yeah. Alright, we understand now that Zoko cannot be identified with Tfilah. Zoko certainly cannot be identified with Tfilah. The Rambam never said this paleologia bachatzeh. Never said. But apparently between Zoko and Tfilah there is a gap separating Zoko from Tfilah. The gap here, I'll just enumerate a few things. But certainly Tfilah is not to call the people to pray. Because before Chazoros Hashat, we say Tfilah Belachash. And Tfilah Belachash means a solitary prayer. A solitary person prays. Tfilah in isolation. Belachash. People should not overhear this conversation with the Almighty. Complete privacy. Complete privacy. And Chazor Sashat, you know why it was introduced, I don't have to tell it to you. But simply people didn't know how, they were not literate. didn't know how to daven, how to recite the prayers. But there is absolutely the vow in as far as Tefillah is concerned, only I exist and I know that I stand before the Almighty. No one else exists. No one else. It's an exclusively private, solitary, what shall I say, communication between man and God. This is not Chatzetzris. This is just the opposite of Chatzetzris. So that's why the Rambam calls Lizek Elohim. Because Chatzetzris is the symbol of Lech Knis, as for the unit. Yeah, this is the Oko. What is Tzioko? This is Oko. What is Tzioko? I know that's the complaint. They say, hey, in one regard, Tzioko and Zoko are identical. It means in Tzioko there are two elements. One element, the element of complaining, of charging, of crying, Spitzoik Yitzhakalai. The second element, the second component part, is involvement of others. Of course, I mean, Chatzetzres continue, Chatzetzres are, I mean, which element justifies Chatzetzres? The element of Lech Knis, of uniting them together, of Lech Knis, correct. But, and with regard to that Lech Knis, Zorke differs from Tefillah. In Tefillah there is no Lech Knis, in Tefillah on the contrary. The Yochid stands before the Almighty. It is the monologue of the Yochid who stands before the Almighty. Who is Adishem Echod, and also Yochid, but in the absolute sense of the word. This is Tefillah. Zioke means I don't exist. I alone don't exist. I exist within the community, within the many. And my existence is justified, because I feel love for the community. And I identify myself with the suffering community. This is Zoroko, and that leads to Chatzetzres. But the first element of Zoroko as complaint couldn't have led to Chatzetzres. Could you combine the first element of Zoroko, or exactly this is Zoroko, this Tefillah? The second element in Zoroko you couldn't combine with Tefillah, because as I said, this is Yochid Legabi Yod Legabi Echod, and this is the Tzibur, and this is the broad, the Tefillah Satzibur, in the full sense of the word. I get involved with the Tzibur and I summon the Tzibur to pray with me. Yeah, but the element of Zoroko is exactly the first element of Zoroko. Or what do you call, what Ram calls Tzioko? Is there any transition from Tzioko to Tefillah, or there is no transition from Tzioko to Tefillah? You understand my question? In what regard does Tzioko differ from Tefillah? The Rambam never mentions that Beis HaTzorach HaYom L'Ispala. Either he says Lizek Eloria, or he says Lizek, or Litzek. And you say, oh, no, either says Lizek Eloria, he always is careful to say Lizek Eloria. But he sometimes will say Litzek Lifnei Hashem, like in the first line. Yeah. Apparently not Lispala Lifnei Hashem, but Litzek Lifnei Hashem. What's the difference between Tzioko, or element, component part number one in Tzioko, and Tefillah? What's the difference? How does it differ? Basically, Tefillah is a structured prayer. There are architectural designs to Tefillah. Tefillah is strictly organized. It consists of brachos, of benedictions. Each benediction is very well organized. Shem, Malchus, Ator, Hu, Gufrishe, Gufsheni, Gufshlishi, and then the deed is described Bere Pri Adomo, Bere Pri Eitz, Seleach Umechil, and so forth. Tefillah starts with others, with the dawn of our history, with the people who lived at the dawn of our history, and climbs up to the apex. When it's in Sholem, it speaks of eschatological fulfillment. It starts with Abraham, the father whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the great promise, and we conclude with Sim Sholem. Sim Sholem doesn't mean peace, Chushev and what's his name? Carter signed the treaty yesterday. Salt 2, Salt 5, I don't know. It's enough salt. Yes. Yeah. Anyway. But Sim Sholem means between Malchus and Malko Kadisha. This is the period, the era, when all promises will be fulfilled. It is the Sim Sholem and the Broche have complete, absolute fulfillment and realization of all promises. And Tfile climbs slowly, step by step, always Gvurei Zashem, Chein Nadoas, Tkabi Sheifo, Valamal Shini Malte Sipo, it's systematic. It develops systematically, it grows systematically. And the last broche, concludes all our hopes and all our expectations. The broche of Tim Sholem. There is continuity in Tfile. The benedictions, we are divided into private and communal requests. Is a private request. And Tkavishi for Godel is a communal request, a historic request, and so forth. The omission of a broche, if I should leave out one broche in Tfile, results in repetition, in the duty to repeat the prayer. In word, Tfile is structure. It's a structural entity. There is beauty and completeness and wholeness to Tfile. I came to the United States as a president. Roshan Yekiva had to stand at the beam with him. It was real Inuit, it's the Hamish Inuit. Seven Inuit. So in Rosh Hashanah, I noticed that he came in, Shachris, and we were saying Shem Nesre. So he came over to the Shamas and asked him, where are they up to? So I thought it clear, I'll tell him Shem Nesre. He says, the third of the hint in Paderchok. If I want to visualize the opposite, visualize prayer, structured prayer, where there is development and form, continuity and unity, I remind myself of the answer I got from the Shabbos, the third repenting part of it. There is, anyway, Hispalel in Hebrew. We don't know exactly the semantics of Hispalel, but it is certain that it is associated with what? With thinking. It is associated with thinking, with giving judgment, with discriminating, is parallel, ye follow, I follow Pinchas, judging. It is associated with a great gesture, intellectual gesture. Where the intellectual gesture reaches great heights, so there must be order, there must be unity, there must not be any chaos. This is true. This is a mitzvah b'chol yom. This has nothing to do with Torah. When a man is in distress, he cannot structure anything. He can just cry and pronounce a few words. Simply, he can say he cannot bear it. It's too heavy, it's too difficult. But he cannot create anything structurally beautiful. This is Sirocco. In Sirocco, we don't care. In Sirocco, there is no structure to Sirocco. This is the addition with the theory. The addition, that's what the difference is between Tfilo Beholden and Zdoko Beis and Sirocco in a time of trouble, of suffering. Tfilo Beholden, there is a fixed nusach, there is a fixed text. Every word is in its place. I cannot jump or skip or make a leap in another realm, so to say. You have to follow a certain rules of orderliness and development. While Sirocco is it different. I'll give you an example. Let us imagine. Uvon is an illiterate. Let's imagine, I'll ask you a lucky question. Uvon is an illiterate. Can or all he can is to cry and to weep and to wipe his tears. That's not hidden. Who can only that? All right. But he cannot pronounce words, cannot read a fixed text. All he can do is to cry and to dry his tears. And weep before the Almighty. Is he Yetzer mit Mitzvah Tfilah, if I'll ask you? As far as Tfilah is concerned, there will be no Kiyuma Mitzvah. Tfilah means to spell out, to formulate, to say something, to read, to follow a nusre, a certain text. The meaning is similar to that of create. Tfilah is also, if I got to read, if I don't read, no matter how impressed I am, how much trouble I have to confront. But the structure is indispensable. However, as far as Tzoroko is concerned, the mitzvah which my mind discounts is binding Beis HaTzoro is concerned, crying and weeping without pronouncing the words constitute the Kiyuma Mitzvah, no doubt. What is known to you of Tzoroko? Where do you daven not following the principles of Tfile? Those the principles of Tfile we follow, the Tfile we do recite three times a day, so there's no problem. Did you ever come across Tzoroko? No, the Shofar, I would say. Slichas. What is the main tefillah in Slichas? Mishono Lavon Vinim Bara Maria Yaneinu Mishono Yitzchok Nei Yaneinu Mishono Yaakov Yaneinu Aneinu Hashem Aneinu Aneinu Bereinu Aneinu Aneinu Galeinu Aneinu. Short, not long sentences. There are no broches. There's no arrangement of broches. You don't climb from the old and ancient to the eschatological. There is no structure at all. It is the outcry, the cry of a person who is hopelessly entangled. What? All right. The Ramban says. Yes. And this is Sirocco. And this is a special mitzvah. This is the mitzvah which is limited to Shas HaTzoro. While the Holyim is not neither Sirocco nor Sirocco as far as the second element is concerned, I don't have to call on people to join me. As far as the Holyim is concerned, it is Tefillah. Now I want just to add something. The Ramban in his commentary to the Sefer HaMitzvot says in answer to the Rambam's objection to the Aloches Beres that the Aloches Beres counted by Chal Meshes Pnei Adeshem Alekov Vayema Olom Adeshem Yad Chiyach Abcho Vahamecho Shotei Shomeret Mishraim Chiyach Godel Viyot Chazoko as a mitzese mitayag mitzes. So the Rambam says he doesn't understand what's all about. Meshe prayed to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So why is it a mitzvah for an Italian mitzvah? The Rambam happens to count Tfile as among the Tayag mitzvah. But to count a separate mitzvah for Yechal, the Rambam objected to. So the Ramban came. Agar Brain said that Alochas Delis means that there is a separate mitzvah to engage in prayer in times of trouble, based at Sorah. That's the Ramban answers in his Asogas. So I have only one question to ask. Right, I have one question to ask. If it is Beis HaTzorah, why did Aloch Deleis reach out for Vechal Meses, Bnei HaLeshem HaLetov, while he had a pasuk which is so explicit about the Chaver? V'chisov v'mukhama ba'atzam la'tzar ha'tzeres, and v'ei d'ram namdi. Why did Aloch Deleis choose Vaychal Meshes, Knei Abishem Lekov, as the mitzvah of Lis Pale, Lis Chani, Lachadish Baruch Hu, Beis HaTzoro? The Rambam himself knows that there is a separate mitzvah Beis HaTzoro. But the source of that mitzvah is not Vaychal Meshes, Knei Abishem Lekov. But what is the source? Chisol Mechom Ba'atzchem Al HaTzar HaTzir HaTzir V'Reishim HaTzir. What's the answer? Why do you need both? Why? The answer is... I believe the answer is simple. The pasuk, the chisovim mochama ba'atzchem al atzar atzirazchem, addresses itself to a community, to a situation, which is not fully covered by the Pasuk Rechisol Muhammad Ba'atzchem Al-Atzar HaTzeres. And that's why the Aloch HaZderis had to introduce the Pasuk Vaychal Meshes Nei Abishem Alekor in order to cover certain sectors of the territory which the Rambam, by introducing the Rechisol Muhammad Ba'atzchem, did not cover. What are those sectors? I believe the following is correct. The Rechisov in Yuchama Ba'atzachem addresses itself to a community which is confronted with disaster, with distress. Everybody, each member in the community is exposed to danger, to annihilation. Everyone is duty bound to pray, to petition God, because he is involved. However, nothing is said about mitzvahs, the mitzvah of tefillah, tzoke, zoke, whatever it is, about prayer by an individual who is not involved in this tragic situation and whose existence is not menaced, not at all. He wants to pray simply out of love to save the community. He himself needs no prayer. Is this individual obligated to pray? Chisov Muhammad Ba'atzchem Al-Atzar HaTzeres does not give us an answer. Chisov Muhammad Ba'atzchem, the whole population is wrong. One understands the necessity of prayer, the rest doesn't understand and takes it with indifference. That's what the Rambam said, is a mitzvah to tell the people and to show them that not prayer, the absence of prayer, means an act of cruelty. But the individual is involved in distress as the whole community. This is exactly what the story of Mordechai and Esther. That what Mordechai sent to, the message he sent to Esther. What did he tell her in the message? Al-Tidame bin Nafshech l'molet bin Samelech mekol ha-yudim. You are not safe. But Aloch HaZdele says, Meshe acted differently. Meshe was certainly safe. And on the contrary, you become the great nation. Your whole nation will be your descendant. So what do you? So why are you so much in war? What makes you much in war? He loved the people. People didn't reciprocate when he was in power. But he loved the people. And how nations may have the shame of the power. That's exactly what every Jew should do in every generation. If one community is in trouble and distress, a Jew cannot say, I don't belong to that community. I am saying, this is the possible. Let me just conclude. A strange question arises. The way we have interpreted the Psukim, why did the Torah combine the two Psukim pertaining to Chatzetres, V'yentzim Chasna V'madeichem, and the Pasuk of Pesach Mochama Ba'atzcham Ha'atzor Eschem, the mitzvah Tkiyah and day of crisis, and the mitzvah Skriya and day of Yontef into one home and one parsha? Why? What is the common denominator which we come across in reading the pasuk of Chisov and Mochama Ba'atzchem al Atzar Atzer Eschem V'Reishem Chatzetris and reading the pasuk of V'Yimsim Chatzchem V'Madechem U'Rosh Chatzchem? Apparently they express both, express one idea, a common idea, one motif, one thing. What is it? What is it? Prime factor, the Tkiyah v'Chatzetres as an expression of joy and triumph and gratitude and happiness, and a Truah by Chatzetres expressing desolation, chum, and fear of total destruction, prime factor, are mutually exclusive. There is no transition. Joy and fear, gratitude and bleak despair are mutually exclusive. Why did the Torah combine both into one parsha? And of both, you say, Chatzetres is the symbol. The symbol of what? I believe that the common element is to be found in one thing. Man is finite, and his capabilities are limited. Finite capabilities. Whoever says that he has unlimited capabilities is a fool. Not only fool, is the evidence of a desire to self-deification. Man is finite. Finite are his existence, of course. Finite are his capabilities. Man cannot resolve the total mystery of the universe, nor can he achieve perfection. Nor can he achieve anything in totality. Only small segments within creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it at the disposal of man and made them accessible. Only a few. A very narrow street of man. In nature. And we take now read the stories in the paper. We have discovered the nuclear energy. At the time of discovery, you don't remember, but I'm old enough to remember. At the time of discovery, the New York Times and the Time Magazine, Newsweek, in all the pseudo-scientific journals and the so-called intellectuals, I mean, began to say that man is going to control the universe. And they had, figured out how man will change the atmosphere and will make rain and tell the rain to stop, and so forth and so on. In a word, the discovery of nuclear energy gave men unlimited power in the universe. That it is untrue, you know it. Now, on the contrary, men's limitedness came more to the front, to the foreground, with the discovery of nuclear energy. Man is afraid of his own discovery. He discovers he's a creator, yes. But the next day he's afraid of the creation. Yes, man was endowed with speech. However, the latter was not given to him in totality. Yes, he is capable to communicate with others, to commune with others, but the communication is again limited and is restricted to peripheral problems. Man, for instance, is in joy. He's full of ecstasy. He wants to tell everybody the story of his success, his story of joy and ecstasy. He wants to tell everybody, and we feel deserving of praise, we run home to tell at least our wives. But he wants to hear words of acceptance and sanction. He runs, and he cannot tell the story, the full story of joy. He wants to express gratitude. He has no words for it. So what does man do if he lacks words? What does man do if he lacks the words to tell a story? Particularly, he wants to tell the whole story, nothing else but the story. But he feels that what he does is wrong. It's just a shadow, but not the event itself, as he portrays. He cannot portray it. I mean, I don't have to go far. Many times I have a good memory in my mind. I can't express it. Sometimes in a sheer, I feel that this is what the Rambam had in mind, but I cannot define it. Because I'm limited in my capabilities. I don't know how to form. I don't have enough words, and the words I have, I cannot combine into sentences. And the sentences cannot be combined into something beautiful. So what does man do? The man is very excited and in the same time disappointed. He cannot communicate. What does he do? He sings. The melody is more expressive, tells people more than the non-melodious voice or the non-melodious word. Yes, however, song does not satisfy him either. He's still limited. So what does he do? He grabs the instrument and he plays on it, seeking totality as far as communication is concerned. He never finds. He never can. Only a sheikh can say that he has communicated to his friends what he had in mind. The same is true not only of joy and happiness, of fear. Every man suffers from fear. Even Shlomo HaMelech suffered. The Pachat Valeris. What a Pachat Valeris is, we don't know. But he was afraid. He suffered from fright of the night. Which lay me tell what his pachat consisted. It's not everything. Shlomo was a human being. He was limited. He couldn't communicate his fear, his doubt, his sense of insecurity. So what did Shlomo do? He was just frustrated to his attempt to tell his story. He tried in Kehelet to tell his story. Didn't he try very hard? But what is the last person? Save the war, Akil Nishmo, yes, Akil Nishmo. Was Likim Yereves, the place of Shmeya. Man is a limited being. And the symbol of man's limitedness, finitude, and frustration as far as communication is concerned, is the Hatzetzes, the musical instrument, which man built and constructed in order to express as much as possible. If his tongue cannot do it, so at least his fingers, his nimble fingers. He expects his nimble fingers to make. He is lost. This is the combined, the common denominator. If you saw the Muhammad Ba'at, the Muhammad Ba'at, and the Lensu Chasim Adech, the Rosh Hashem, the Skype, and the Hedas, and the Hatekar, and the Hashem.